B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Samach Tes. We're going to start towards the bottom of Daf Samach Ches Omud Beis. And then the Gemara is going to go back to the Mishnah we learnt on Daf Samach Aleph Omud Beis at the beginning of the Perek. At the beginning of the Perek we learnt, Hador im ha'akum, if somebody is in a chotzer, b'chotzer, if somebody shares a chotzer, a courtyard, with a goy, or somebody who denies or doesn't agree with the concepts of Eruv, a heretic, a koifer, a kuti, as we already saw, hareza oyser olov, then he restricts the use of the chotzer. One is not allowed to carry in the chotzer unless one actually leases from him his share in the chotzer or part of his of the share of his property. And then the Mishnah continues, Omer Gamliel, there was a story with that, an incident with a tziduki, Shahoyador Imonu, that was living with us, b'movui b'Yerushalayim, in one of the alleyways in Yerushalayim, and just as a chotzer needs a ruvei chatzeres to allow all the partners in the chotzer to carry, so too in movui needs shitufei muvois to allow all the people in the chatzeres that are sharing that movui to carry in the movui. V'omar lonu Abba, and Rabbi Gamliel says that Abba, his father, told him, Maharu v'hoitziu es hakelim l'movui, quickly take out your utensils into the movui, ad shelo yoitzi, before the tziduki takes out his utensils into the movui, v'yeser aleichem, because Rabbi Yehuda Oimer b'loshen acher, me'aru v'osu tzorcheichem b'movui ad shelo yoitzi v'yeser aleichem. We'll see more details about this in the Gemara. But either way, this discussion about tziduki, and the tziduki was definitely a Yisrael, not like the Kutim where it's questionable whether their conversion was valid and whether they had the status of Yisrael or a Goy. A tziduki is definitely a Yisrael. However, he's a Yisrael who is a heretic, doesn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. And so Rabbi Gamliel says that even though a Goy or somebody who's not Moida Be'eruv cannot join an Eruv and he has to do schirus, a goy, in the case of the goy at least, it's clear that a goy cannot do bittel, cannot relinquish his rights to the other people, to the Israelim in the chotzer. He has to actually lease his part in the chotzer to the Yisraelim. And suddenly the Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel starts talking about a tziduki, who's a Yisrael, who's a koifer, that bittel does work. He can relinquish his rights. And it's just a discussion as to, there's a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, exactly what limitations the concept of bittel, of relinquishing rights, has. So the Mishnah, the Gemara is now going to address this issue, that how can Rabbi Gamliel just start talking about tziduki? The Mishnah hadn't told us what is the halacha of a tziduki who is sharing an eruv with Yisraelim. Then has he got the halachas of Yisrael? Has he got, and then in which case bittul will work? Does he have the halachas of a goy, in which case one has to do schirus, one has to lease the property from him? So the Gemara is going to fill us in on that. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Gamliel, Maisa b'tziduki echod, there was an incident with a tziduki, Shahoyodori Monu, that lived with us in the Mavui, etc. Asks the Gemara, tziduki mandachar shamei, who mentioned a tziduki in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Gamliel starts telling us an incident that happened with the tziduki. First tell us the general halacha with the tziduki. Says the Gemara, chisuri mechzer v'horiktoni. We have to read a few words into the Mishnah to help us understand the Mishnah. We have to read into the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said that a goy cannot join the Eruv. One has to do schiros from the goy. Tziduki harehu kenochri. The Tanakhama say that a tziduki has exactly the same status as a goy, and one cannot do bittel. A goy cannot do bittel. A goy has to do schiros. Rabbi Gamliel Oimer, Rabbi Gamliel argues on this point with the Chachomim, with the Tanakhama, and says, tziduki einoi kenochri. A tziduki has not got the status of a goy, he's got the status of a Yisrael. He cannot join the Eruv because he doesn't agree with the Eruv. However, he can use bittel as any other Yisrael could. Vomer Rabbi Gamliel, maisa b'tziduki echod, there was this incident with the tziduki, shahoy adori monu b'movi b'Yerushalayim, he was living with us in the Movui, sharing the same alleyway in Yerushalayim, Vomer lonu abba, and my father told us, maru v'itziu es hakelim l'movui, quickly take out your utensils into the Mavui. After Shabbos sets in, start using the Mavui as if the Eruv that you did is valid, as if the Bittel of this Tzeduki was valid. And if you start using the Mavui before the Tzeduki does, then his Bittel will be binding. And even if he then changes his mind and starts using the Mavui or the Chotzer, he's not allowed to, but if he does, then at least he will no longer be able to invalidate the Eruv for the rest of you. So make sure that you are the ones who use the Mavui before he does. Ad shelo yotzi v'yeser aleichem, to make sure that you use it before the Tzeduki does, because if he uses it first, then it will restrict the use of the Mavui for everybody. Continues the Gemara v'ho Tanya, and proof to this understanding, this reading into the Mishnah, is from a Braisa. Hador im anochri tzeduki ubaisusi. If either a tzeduki or a baisusi, and these were two different types of koifrim, of heretics that did not believe and did not practice Torah Shebal Peh, hare elu oistrin olav, then these people, they restrict the use of the chotzer, the mavui, to the Yisrael, and bittel does not work, and the only thing you can do is to lease from him his property. Rabban Gamliel Oimer Tzeduki Ubaisusi Einon Oisrim. Rabban Gamliel argues and says that they do not have the same halachas as a goy, and they do not need to do schirus. However, it goes without saying that they cannot do a normal eruv; they have to use bittel, and that's exactly how we explain the Mishnah, that it's actually machlekas Tanakam and Rabban Gamliel as to the status of a tzeduki or a baisusi. They have the same halachas regarding the eruv. And now the Gemara continues telling us another detail in that same Braisa, even though the Gemara has already made its point and proven from the Braisa that there's a Machlekes Tanakam and Rabban Gamliel regarding the status of the Tzeduki. U'maisa b'Tzeduki Echot, Shehoy Adorim Rabban Gamliel b'movi b'Yerushalayim. There was this Tzeduki that lived with Rabban Gamliel in an alleyway in Yerushalayim. V'Omar Lem Rabban Gamliel Lebonov. Rabban Gamliel said to his children, Ma b'Bonai Maru v'Yitziu Mashatem. Moitzin, quickly take out into the Mavui those utensils that you want to take out into the Mavui, v'chnisu mashtem achnisim, or bring in from the Mavui into the Chatzeris, into the Batim, whatever needs to be brought in. Ad shelo yotzi hatoyev hazev yeser aleichem, before this detestable one, this is a tzeduki that was very much seen in the derogatory terms, before he uses the Eruv, even though he's done bittel, but if he's going to use the Chotzer after he's relinquished his rights, if he's going to use the Mavui after he's relinquished his rights, then it will undo his bittel. He will, so to speak, have reclaimed his rights, and then again the Mavui will the Eruv there will be invalid. Shari bittel reshusay lechem, because according to Rabban Gamliel, he can do bittel, but he can undo the bittel unless you use the Mavui first. Divi Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda Oimer Belosh Nacheres. Reb Yehuda says that Reb Gamliel's statement was a little bit different. Not use the Eruv before he does, because if he uses it first, he will undo the relinquishing of his rights. If you use it first, then you've made the first, so to speak, kinyon, you've acquired those rights. And you can only acquire rights, as in any Eruv, it only becomes valid when Shabbos sets in. And Reb Yehuda argues and says, no, maru v'osu tzorcheichem b'movui, anything you need done in the Mavui, make sure you do it before Shabbos. Ad sheloy techshach v'yeser aleichem, before it becomes dark and he restricts you. And the version we have here in the Gemara, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, is that even according to Rabbi Gamliel, the status of a tziduki is the same as a goy, and therefore bittel does not work. So he told them, since you didn't do schiros from him, and an eruv you obviously cannot join, make sure you do whatever you need to do before nightfall, because as soon as nightfall sets in, the mavi is going to be also to be carried in by anybody because of this tziduki. Omar mar, hoitziu mashatem hoitzim. We just now learned, the opinion of Rab Meir is use the mavui, use this alleyway before the tziduki does, carry out anything you need into the mavui, v'chnisu mashatem achnisim, and bring in from the mavui anything, all the utensils that need bringing in, before this toyev, this detestable person, this heretic, this tzeduki, before he uses the mavoi, and if he uses the mavoi before you do, then he's going to restrict your use in the mavoi for Shabbos. Says the Gemara, lememra. So we can deduce from here that according to Reb Meir, Reb Gamliel's opinion is that tchi mafki inhu, that if the sons of Reb Gamliel, if the Israelim use the mavoi before the tzeduki does, v'hadar mapik yu, and only afterwards the tzeduki then chooses to use this mavoi and to carry in the mavoi, even though he's relinquished his rights, loy osar, he will not restrict the mavoi on the Israelim since they used it before he did. That's what it seems from Reb Meir. V'hatnan, this seems to contradict what we learnt in the Mishnah. We learnt in the Mishnah, Misha nosan reshusoi, if somebody relinquished his rights from a chotzer, from a mavoi, v'hoitzi, and after he relinquished his rights, he carried bein b'sheigig bein b'mezid, either unintentionally or deliberately, he carried in the area that he'd already relinquished his rights to, oyser, then he regains his relinquished rights, and he now restricts this area on all the other Israelim. Divrei Reb Meir, that is the opinion of Reb Meir. So you see here clearly that in the Mishnah, that once somebody who relinquishes his rights uses the area that he's relinquished his rights from, Reb Meir's opinion is, Bein Shoigig Bein Mezid, irrespective of whether he used it intentionally or unintentionally, then from that point on, the area becomes also to be used by everybody else. And we said now, and the version of Reb Meir that we saw it before was that if the Israelim used it before the tzeduki, before the person who relinquished his rights, then the person who relinquished his rights can no longer reclaim his rights by using the chotzer. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Yosef, Eima Eino Eser. Why don't you just change what it says in the Mishnah? Instead of the Mishnah saying that if he uses the area that he relinquished his rights from, then oyser, then he restricts everybody else from using the mavui. No, say einay oyser. Read into it that what it means is einay oyser, he does not restrict the rights. Reason being, because the Israelim used the mavui before the tzeduki did. Abaye Omar. Abaye says, no, loy kasha. I don't need to change what it says in the Mishnah, and nonetheless, it's not a contradiction in Reb Meir. Kan kasher ziku bnei mavui b'mavui, kan shalei ziku bnei mavui b'mavui. The Mishnah that says that he restricts the mavui is talking about when the Israelim did not use the mavui before the tzeduki did. In that case, indeed, when the tzeduki uses the mavui, he regains his rights and now restricts the mavui for everybody else. However, when we saw before in the Braisa that according to Reb Meir, if the Yisraelim use it first, then the tzeduki can no longer restrict the Eruv by using it. That's talking about when the Yisraelim used it first. V'otanya, and we're going to bring proof to Abaya's understanding from a braisa. And the braisa goes as follows. Ad sheloi nosan reshusoi hoitzi. What happens if before the tzeduki relinquished his rights, he used his area in the mavui? Bein b'mezid, bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid, irrespective of whether this tzeduki carried, and he wasn't allowed to carry, before he relinquished his rights, no one is allowed to carry in the mavui, because you've got Yisraelim and a tzeduki sharing the same mavui, and since the tzeduki, he cannot join in the Eruv because he doesn't agree with the Eruv, nobody can carry there. If this tzeduki does carry, irrespective of whether it was b'sheigeg or b'mezid, even if he did it deliberately, which means he's a mechalel Shabbos b'mezid, yochel levatel, nonetheless he can still do bittel. We don't say, since you're mechalel Shabbos, then you have the status of a goy, and if you have the status of a goy, you cannot do bittel at all, you have to do schirus. No, Reb Meir says that even if he's mechalel Shabbos b'mezid, he can still do bittel like any other Yisrael could. Reb Yehuda argues the Reb Meir and says that b'shoigeg yochel levatil, if unintentionally he used the mavoi, even though it was osa, then he can still use bittel. B'mezid, however, if he was mechalel Shabbos b'mezid, he desecrated Shabbos intentionally, he used the area that he was not allowed to use on Shabbos, then eina yochel levatil, he has the status of a goy and he can no longer use bittel, And the only way that everybody else can use the Eruv, the Mavui, is if they lease the rights from him as they would from a Goy. That's all talking about before he relinquished his rights. Misha Nosan Rishusoi, somebody who relinquished his rights to the other Yisraelim, and after he relinquished his rights, Vahoitzi, he carried in that Mavui, Bein B'Shoigig, Bein B'Mezid, irrespective of whether he did it unintentionally or deliberately, Oyser, then he, from that point on, he restricts the other people from using that Mavui. Tivi Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda Oymer, Reb Yehuda argues and says, B'Mezid Oyser, if he does it intentionally, then he restricts the other people from using the Mavui. B'Shoigig, however, if after he relinquished his rights, he used the Mavui unintentionally, then Eino Oyser, he does not restrict the use of the Mavui to everybody else. And we already saw in the Gemara previously what the underlying point is between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, if we are Goyzer, Shoigig, Otu Mezid. Now the Brisa carries on, and this is the important part that we want here. B'Meir Devarim Amurim, when is all this true? U'Kesheloi, only if the Israelim, the other members of the Mavui, have not yet used the Mavui based on the fact that this individual relinquished his rights to them. However, if the Israelim, the kosher Israelim, had already used the Mavui after Shabbos started, based on the fact that this Tzaduki relinquished his rights, from that point on, Bein B'Shoigig, Bein B'Mezid, Einoy Oyser, then even if this Tzeduki used the Mavui intentionally, deliberately, he does not regain his part in his rights in the Chatzar, and everybody else can continue using the Chatzar as we saw before. This is proof to what Abaya said, that, not like Rav Yosef, what Abaya said, that in the event that the Yisraelim, the Koshi Yisraelim, used the Mavui before the Tzeduki did, from that point on, the Tziduki does no longer restricts the Mavui. Omer Mar, we're now going to discuss Rabbi Yehuda's opinion a little bit more in depth. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Belosh Nacheres. We saw in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that Rabbi Gamliel said something a bit differently than Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, use the Mavui after Shabbos started before the Tziduki does. Rabbi Yehuda said something a bit different. He said, Maharu v'asu tzorcheichem b'movui, hurry and take care of all your needs in the Mavui, ad sheloi techshach v'yeser aleichem, because on Shabbos you will not be able to use the Mavui, because this Tziduki is here. And the Tziduki has the same status as a Goy, and bittul doesn't work, relinquishing rights doesn't work, you have to lease from him, you didn't lease from him, so the Mavui is not allowed to be used on Shabbos to carry. So anything you want to carry there, anything you need to take in or out, make sure you do it before Shabbos. Alma nochrihu. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a tzeduki has the status of a goy. Asks the Gemara that this seems to contradict what we learned in our Mishnah. V'anan ad shelo yetzitnan. We learned in our Mishnah that what Rabbi Yehuda actually said was, use, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, was that the people in the Chotzer have to use the Mavui before the Tziduki does, and if they use it before the Tziduki does, then, or more accurately, all the while that the Tziduki has not used the Mavui, you can continue using the Mavui. And since you don't know when the Tziduki is going to use the Mavui, make sure to do whatever you need to do as quickly as possible. Not necessarily before Shabbos. Even when Shabbos sets in, as soon as the Tziduki is going to use the Mavui, he's going to then reclaim the rights that he relinquished. From that point on, it's going to be awesome for all of you to use the Mavui. Not like Reb Meir, who says that as long as you use the Mavui before the Tziduki did, the Tziduki can no longer regain his rights that Shabbos. Reb Yehuda argues and says that once that the Tziduki can actually regain his rights whenever he wants, reclaim them whenever he does, and therefore make sure to use the Mavui before the Tziduki does. So you see from there that the Tziduki is allowed to do bittul. They just have to be careful not to use the Mavui after the Tziduki does. So this is contrary to what we saw in the Braisa, that according to Rav Yehuda, you have to use the Mavui before Shabbos sets in, because bittel didn't work for the tzeduki, who has the same status as a goy, and therefore the movi is also right from the start of Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Eima, what the Mishnah should say is not use it before he does, and all the while that he doesn't, rather, achela yoytzi hayom, not before he carries his utensils into the movi, and from that point on you will not be able to use the movi. No, it means achela yoytzi hayom, until make sure that you use the movi before the day turns out, the day ends, because once the day ends, then you will no longer be able to use the movi because the tzeduki has the status of a goy. V'boy seima. Another explanation to answer the seeming contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether, according to Rav Yehuda, the Braisa says that the tzeduki has the status of a goy and bittul never works for him, and therefore they cannot use the movi at all. And Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah seems to say that the tzeduki has the status of Yisrael, and therefore the bittul will work all the while he doesn't undo the bittul. So, loikash, it's not a contradiction, it depends what type of tzeduki. Kan b'mumru l'charel shabosis v'tzina. In the Mishnah we're talking about a type of tzeduki, or type of koifer, type of mumur. A mumur is a type of koifer, somebody who's going against one, at least one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, deliberately. And so if somebody is only a mumur, l'chalel Shabbosis b'tzina, he's only desecrates Shabbos privately, he still has the status of Yisrael and bittul will work. However, Kan, in the Braisa we're talking about b'mumur l'chalel Shabbosis b'farhesya, somebody who's openly and publicly desecrating Shabbos, indeed he has the status of a goy and bittul will not work for him. Continues the Gemara, Keman oz l'ha de Tanya, who does the following Braisa follow? Mumur, which is an irreligious person, a koifer, v'gilui ponim, and somebody who's very brazen, very brash, mechutzef, hareza eine mevatel rishus, he's got the status of a goy and cannot relinquish his rights, and if he's sharing a movi with other Yisraelim, then they have to do schirus and not bittel. And the Gemara now interjects, gilui ponim mumurhu, somebody who's a brash person, a gilui ponim, a brazen person, he's got the status of a mumur? Because the braisa we just learned says, mumur v'gilui ponim. If he's either a mumur or a gilui ponim, then he cannot do bittul, he has the status of a goy. So a mumurak we'll soon discuss. We can understand. Somebody who goes against the mitzvahs of the Torah, we can understand that he should have the status of a goy. But a gilui ponim, somebody who's a brash person, is the reason that he should have the status of a goy? Ela mumur begilui ponim. The way we have to read it is somebody who is a mumur, who is a koifer, but and he's doing it with chutzpah, he's doing it in a very brazen way. That means the words gilui ponim is not another case. It's a description of what type of mumur it is. Eina yochel levatel rishus. That type of mumur cannot rely on bittel, and he has to do schirus. Keman, Rabbi Yehuda. It's obviously following Rabbi Yehuda because we just saw before, according to Rabbi Meir, any type of mechalel Shabbos can rely on bittel. Rabbi Yehuda said that there's a certain type of mumur that a mechalel Shabbos that cannot rely on bittel. Who's that? A mechalel Shabbos b'farhesi, if he's publicly desecrating Shabbos. That's the mumur begilui ponim. Rabbi Yehuda. It must be following Rabbi Yehuda. Continues the Gemara. Hahu de nofak b'chumarto de modosha. This person who went out publicly carrying a bag of spices, and this bag of spices was not an ornament or anything, it was a burden. He was carrying on Shabbos, he was Michal Shabbos. Kiven de chazil Rabbi Yehuda nasiya. When he saw Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was approaching him, Kasye, he covered it over. He was embarrassed to be seen by the God Ladoir, by the Nasi, to be being Michal Shabbos. Omar, so Rabbi Yehuda said when he did see the spices, and Rabbi Yehuda commented, "Kegoin zeh, this type of person who is embarrassed to be seen in public by the Nasi, being Mechal Shabbos, he's not considered a Mechal Shabbos b'farhesia, mevatel rishus l'Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's still got the status of Yisrael, and he can use bittel." Continues the Gemara, Omar Avuna. And we're discussing now a little bit the status of different types of mumrim. Eizo Yisrael mumr. Who's considered a Yisrael mumr? In different areas of halachas, the being a mumr has relevance. So who is considered a mumr? Says the Gemara, Zeh mechalel shabosis befarhesya. Anybody who publicly desecrates Shabbos has the status of a mumr for all the halachas where mumr is relevant. Omele Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, Keman, according to who is this true? And there's a machlekas elsewhere in Shas, in Maseches Bechiras, regarding if somebody is choshud, is suspected of violating one avera, do we suspect him of violating any other avera? So he asks as follows, this is Rav Nachman asking Rav Huna. You, Rav Huna, said that anybody who is a Mechalel Shabbos, all he's doing is desecrating Shabbos. He's doing it publicly, but he's desecrating Shabbos, and you said he has the status of a mumr. We assume that means a mumr for everything. Says, who are you following? Says Rav Nachman. Are you following Rav Meir, who says that the choshud ledavar echot, somebody who's suspected of violating any one mitzvah in the Torah, one avera in the Torah, choshud lekol haTorah kula, is also suspected of violating the entire Torah, if so, afilu be'echod mikol asurim shabat Torah nami? If so, why do you, Rav Huna, say that only somebody who's mechalel Shabbos befarhesya has the status of a mumr, if he's mechalel, or if he desecrates or violates any mitzvah or avera in the Torah, he has the same status. Why are you singling out Shabbos? Ikar Rabbonon, and if you, Rav Huna, are following the opinion of the Rabbonon who argue with Rav Meir, and they say, Ha'omri choshud ledavar echod, lo yav choshud lechol haTorah kula, that somebody who's only suspected of violating one of the averus or mitzvahs in the Torah, he's not suspected of violating the entire Torah. If so, ad have a moiser lavoides kechovim, and that means unless he's suspected of being a heretic, of serving idols, in which case obviously anybody who serves idols is suspected of undermining the entire Torah. So according to the Chachamim, even if he's Mechalel Shabbos, why is he considered a mumr for all mitzvahs in the Torah? Answers the Gemara, Omer of Nachon by Yitzchak, Litein Roshus Ulevatil Roshus. The truth is that regarding all other halachas of mumr, you're right. Either we hold like Rav Meir, or we hold like the Chachamim, and Chirul and Shabbos, the concept of the fact that he's Mechalel Shabbos Befarhesya, that is not a deciding factor. It's either any mitzvah decides he's a mumr, or only Avodah Zarah. However, here we're talking about one specific area of halacha, and that's the area of litin rishus or levatil rishus, being able to relinquish rights regarding the halachas of Eruv. So only regarding that, we said that if he's mechalel Shabbos beferhesya, then he does not have the halachas of a Yisrael, he's called a mumr, and he cannot use bittel, as we saw before. Ugad Tanya. And Rav Nachman is going to prove this from a brisa. Yisroel mumer meshamer shabosoi b'shuk. Somebody who's a Yisroel who's not keeping Shabbos, he is keeping Shabbos in the marketplace. That means he's not publicly desecrating Shabbos. Privately, he's desecrating Shabbos. Such a person, mevatel reshus, he can relinquish his rights. He still has the status of a Yisrael. She'einim meshaber shabatui b'shuk. If he's desecrating Shabbos, even publicly in the marketplace, einim mevatel reshus, he can no longer relinquish his rights like Yisrael does. And the only way that one can carry in a reshus, in a mavui or chotzer that also belongs to him, is to be seicher, to lease his rights from him in the same way as one would with a goy. Mipnei she'amru Yisrael noitel rishus v'noisin rishus, because the halacha is only Yisrael can relinquish his rights. U'benochri al sheyaskir, but a goy has to rent out his rights to the Yisraelim, and somebody who's desecrating Shabbos in public is got the same halachas, the same status as a goy, and bittel will not work. Keitzad. Now the Bryce is just concluding with how does one do bittel? Omar Loi, he says to him, that means the person who wants to relinquish his rights, says to the other people there, Roshusi Knuya Lecha, my rights in this Mavui have been transferred to you. Roshusi mevuteles lecha, or he can say that his rights have been relinquished to his neighbor or neighbors. In that case, kono, then the neighbor or neighbors have acquired his rights. Ve'ein tzarech lizkos, he doesn't actually have to formally do a kinyan using a sudar, a formal type of acquiring or transaction. Just verbally expressing this is sufficient. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi argues and has a different explanation for Rav Huna. He says, "Hai tano, hu dechamiro le Shabbos kavod zara." The truth is that the Rav Huna is following the Rabbonon, and the Rabbonon say that somebody who is suspected of violating any one mitzvah is not suspected of violating any other mitzvah, unless that other mitzvah is avod zara, is idol worship. However, there's one exception: somebody who is publicly desecrating Shabbos is in the same bracket as somebody who serves idols, and therefore he's suspected of violating and undermining the entire Torah, and he has the status of a goy. The chamiro le Shabbos kavodah zara, the desecration of Shabbos is as stringent as serving avodah zara. Kedetanya, and Rav Ashi now proves, we're going to see in a brisa, that indeed somebody who's mechalel Shabbos befarhesya has a similar status to somebody who's serving avodah zara. Kedetanya, and this is regarding whether bringing a korban, a sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash, where intrinsically speaking, Yisrael brings a korban. The pasuk says, let's see the pasuk inside. The pasuk says, "Daber el bnei Yisrael v'amarot aleim tel klal Yisrael, odom ki yakriv, a man who wants to offer up a korban, mikem from you, korban Lashem, min habehemo, from the animals, umin habokor min atzoin, takrivu es korbanchem." That's a pasuk at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra. Says the Brisa, mikem, from the fact that it says, odom kiyakriv, mikem, from amongst you, one can bring a korban, that means that only some of the people from amongst you can bring a korban, but not all of you. Mikem, v'loy kulchem, but not all of you can bring a korban. Prat, who's excluded from being able to bring a korban? L'mumar, is somebody who is a mumar, he's violating, intentionally violating the Torah. Mikem, when it says, odom kiyakriv mikem, bochem chilakti. We're talking here only about Daber el bnei Yisrael v'omarot aleichem. It doesn't say min ha'odom kiyakriv, if somebody from people or from the men who want to bring a korban. It says odom kiyakriv mikem, which means that only from amongst you, Klal Yisrael, there is a mikem, there is some of you yes, some of you not. Mikem, what does that mean? Bochem chilakti, only amongst you, Klal Yisrael, we've differentiated between one type of person and another, between a mumur and not a mumur. However, v'loy bu'umis, amongst all the other goyim, the nations of the world, there's no differentiation, and any goy is allowed to bring a korban. And now the Gemara is going to, the Brice is going to analyze that second halacha. Min habeimo, the pasuk carries on that those who are bringing a korban bring it min habeimo, from the animals. Lahovi bnei odom adomim lebeimo. Not only is it talking about from what you bring a korban from animals, it's also talking about who's allowed to bring a korban, that there's a certain type of person who's considered or similar to an animal, and he can also bring a korban. Min ha-be'imo, that means not only odom, ki ya'akriv mikem korban Hashem, min ha-be'imo, even if he's in a behemoth, an animal type of person, he can also bring a korban. Who is that? Mikan omru. From here the Chachomim told us that mekablim korbonis mipoishe Yisrael, that one is allowed to accept korbonis from even the sinners within Klal Yisrael. Kadei she'yachzur b'tshuva, because if we were to reject them entirely, it would be very difficult for them to repent, and therefore we do not reject them entirely. However, providing they are not in the bracket of mumur that we said before, mikem prat lumumur. The pasuk explicitly says that not anybody can bring a korban. There's some factions within Klal Yisrael who cannot bring a korban, and they are these mumrim. So it seems to be that, the Gemara is soon going to discuss that mumur cannot bring a korban, but Poishe Yisrael can bring a korban. And now before we get back to that, the Braisa continues and says that who cannot bring a korban, chutz min amumar, besides for a mumar, somebody who's irreligious, or somebody who's violating one of the mitzvahs, v'amnaseich yayin, or somebody who is pouring wine for avodah zarah, v'amecharel b'shabbos b'farhesya, or somebody that is publicly desecrating Shabbos. And now the Gemara or Rav Ashi is going to ask a contradiction with the halachas in this braisa. Hogu v'kashi, the braisa itself seems to be contradicting itself. First it says, Omar, at the beginning of the braisa you said, mikem v'loy kulchem, that only some of you can bring korbanos, not all of you, lohitzies a mumur, that a mumur cannot bring a korban. And then in the next stage in the braisa, you learn out that from Minabaima, Vahodaratoni, then you learn to Mekablim Korbonis Mipoishe Yisrael. Even from sinners within Klal Yisrael, you can receive Korbonis. Well, if he's a sinner, then he's a Mumar. So why? You have to make up your mind, a Mumar yes, or a Mumar not. Says Rav Ashi, Holy Kashi, that's not a question, we can answer that. Reisha, the first halacha that says that one does not accept a korban from a mumar, is b'mumar l'chol ha'Torah kula, is talking about a mumar where he's rejecting or he's violating the entire Torah. Matzias, but this middle halacha that says that even from the sinners of Klal Yisrael you can take a korban, b'mumar l'dava echad, is talking about if he's only rejecting one area, one mitzvah or avera, he's called a poishe Yisrael, and he's considered min ha-behema, he's considered as being unaware of the creator of the world, just like an animal is unaware. If he would be aware of Hashem, he would keep all the mitzvahs. Nonetheless, since he's only a mumar for one mitzvah or one avera, then we're allowed to receive the korbanos from him. Ask Rav Ashi another question on the Braisa. Eima Sefer, in the final reading statement of the Braisa, it says, Chutz min ha-mumar, besides that we cannot take a korban from a mumar, v'amanasich yayin, or somebody who is pouring wine for avodah zarah. So Rav Ashi is asking, Hai mumar, heichadomi, what type of mumar is this talking about? I mumar l'chol ha-teira, are you talking about a mumar who is violating the entire Torah? Hainu reisha, that's what you already said at the beginning of the braisa. Mikem prat l'mumar, a mumar l'chol ha-teira kula, is not allowed to bring a korban. I l'davar echo, does it mean he's only a mumar in any one mitzvah or avera? Kashu mitziyosa, then the middle statement of the braisa that said that such a person is called poishe Yisrael, and one does receive korbanos from him. So how can you say at the end of the braisa, chutz min ha-mumar, that from a mumar we do not receive korbanos? So Rav Ashi says, alolav, you have to read it as follows, hochi komar. The braisa means as follows, chutz min ha-mumar, not somebody who is a mumar, or somebody who is menaseich, pouring wine for avodah zarah, or he's a mechal shabbos b'farhesya. No, you have to read that the word mumar in the final statement of the braisa is mumar la, which means that the braisa itself is going to tell us what type of mumar we're talking about. So the first statement in the braisa that says chutz min ha-mumar is talking about a mumar l'chol ha-teirah kula. You can't take a korban from him. The middle part of the braisa that says that you can take a korban from somebody who's not keeping one of the mitzvahs is called a poishe Yisrael, is talking about these a mumar l'dava echad. The final statement that says that you do not take a korban from a mumar, what does that mean? Chutz min ha-mumar l'nasich, if he's a mumar for, regarding, that means the halachas of avodah zarah, he's pouring wine for avodah zarah, or l'chalel shabbosis b'farhesya, or if he's somebody who's publicly desecrating Shabbos, these two halachas, avodah zarah and chilul shabbos b'farhesya, are similar. And even though they're only single averus, it's as if they are mumar l'kol ha-teirah kula, and one cannot accept a korban from them. And this is proof to what we said, this is the proof we're trying to bring, that alma avodah zarah v'shabbos ki adodininu, you see here that serving avodah zarah and desecrating Shabbos are as stringent as each other, and somebody who does that has the status of mechal of mumar l'kol ha-teirah kula. Continues the next Mishnah. Anshei chotzer, if the members of a chotzer, sheshochach echod mehem v'loy iriv, have five people living in a chotzer, and one of them forgot to join the iruv. And we've seen this already, beisoy osur milahachnis umilahoitzi. One is not loy velohem. Veshelohem mutorin loy velohem. So we're talking here about Yisrael, five Yisraelim, one of them forgot to join the Eruv. So in the event that that's what the status remains, that there's one person who did not join the Eruv, nobody in the Chotzer can carry in or out of their homes to the Chotzer or from the Chotzer to their homes. However, if this one neighbor who didn't join the Eruv, he relinquished his rights to the others, and we're talking now back to the regular halachas of a regular Yisrael, he can do bittul. So now he's relinquished his rights, which means his rights in the Chotzer are now theirs. They have made an Eruv together. He has no rights in the Chotzer. So now it's as if his home has been severed from the Chotzer. The Chotzer, with all their homes, have joined an Eruv and have become a single entity. Therefore, the halacha is that anybody can carry from their homes to the Chotzer. Nobody can carry from his home to the Chotzer, because his home and the Chotzer are a separate entity. Sheshochach echad mem v'lo irev, beisoy osur melehachnis u'melehoitzi, his home, one is not allowed to take in from the Chotzer or out to the Chotzer. Loi, neither him, velohem, nor any of the other the residents, the neighbors in the Chotzer, they cannot, no one can carry in and out from the Chotzer to his home. Anybody can carry from their homes to the Chotzer. But from their homes, mutarim loy velohem, even this one individual who did not join the Eruv and relinquished his rights of the Chotzer to them, then if he goes into their homes, then he's just like a guest in their homes, and he can carry out from their homes into the Chotzer, because all those other four homes have merged to become a single entity by making an Eruv. The next halacha. Nosnu lo yirashuson. If the four that did make the Eruv relinquished their rights to this one individual who did not make the Eruv. And logic would have told us that now everything belongs to this one individual, and if since there's only one entity here, then anybody can carry from his home to the Chotzer, or from the Chotzer to his home, and nobody can carry from their homes to the Chotzer, or vice versa. So, hu mutar v'hein asurim. He is allowed to carry from his home into the Chotzer, and from the Chotzer into his home, but they are not allowed to carry from his home into the Chotzer. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Why should it be different to him being able to carry in their homes when he relinquishes his rights to them? Why should it be different the other way? When they relinquish their rights to him, why can they not carry and be his guests and carry from his home to the Chotzer? Continues the Mishnah. Hoyu shnaim. If there were two people who of the five, that, or five is just an example, but if two of the five did not join the Eruv, and then all the other people would relinquish their rights to the two of them, oystrin zelze. They haven't gained anything by relinquishing their rights, because the whole point of relinquishing their rights is that the bottom line, the Chotzer belongs to a single person. However, that means either one person relinquishes his rights to four that made an Eruv, and if they made an Eruv, it's as if it's one entity, or if the four relinquish their rights to one, and again, it belongs to one entity. But if everybody, the three of them, are relinquishing their rights to the two that didn't make the Eruv, again, the Chotzer belongs to two people that don't have an Eruv. And again, it will be also for anyone to carry to and from the Chotzer. Hoisrin zeze. She'echod noisin rashus v'noitel rashus. A single resident can either relinquish his rights, or a single person can receive relinquished rights from others. Shnayim, two people, noisnin rashus, they can relinquish their rights to a single person, ve'ein noitlin rashus, but two individuals cannot be recipients of relinquished rights, because then even though the people who relinquish their rights to them do not have a part in the Chotzer anymore, however, the Chotzer now belongs to two people, and then it is still restricted for everybody to use it. And it looks like there's some doubling over here, some repetition, and the Gemara is going to discuss that. Shnayim noisnim rashus ve'noitlim rashus. Two people can give their can relinquish their rights to one, but cannot receive their rights from anyone else, continues the Mishnah. At what point in time is the appropriate time to relinquish the rights? Do you in Bishamai say on Erev Shabbos before Shabbos sets in? Or Bishilil say after it becomes dark? Continues the Mishnah. If somebody relinquished his rights, and we've seen this halacha in the Gemara already, if somebody relinquishes his rights, and after he does that, he actually carries in the chotzer, and so to speak, trying to regain his rights, v'hoitzi, carries in the chotzer, bein b'shoigig, bein b'meizid, irrespective of whether he intentionally or unintentionally uses the chotzer, hareize oisa, from that point on, he has restricted the rights of everybody else. Divrei Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda argues and says, b'meizid oiser, if he does it intentionally, then it's an act of reacquiring his rights, then of course he's restricting everybody else's being able to use the chotz on Shabbos. B'shoigig, however, if he does it unintentionally, einay oiser, then he does not restrict everybody else using it, and we just say it happened by mistake, and it's status quo, and his rights have still been relinquished to them. And we already saw in the Gemara that it could be that this is dependent on whether the other people in the chotzer had already used the relinquishing of rights. Have they already carried in the mavui before this person, so to speak, tried to take his rights back or not? That's already been discussed in the Gemara. Continue, says the Gemara. If we were to scrutinize the Mishnah well, what did we see in the Mishnah? We said that anchei chotzer, if the members of a chotzer, sheshochach echad mem v'lo irev, one of them forgot to join the eruv, and he relinquished his rights to the others, beisai osur, nobody is allowed to carry to and from this individual's home. Ho chatzeri, says the Gemara, that his rights in the chotzer, obviously, sharia, that's what we're trying to do. He's relinquished his rights in the chotzer. They can all use the chotzer as if he doesn't have a share in the chotzer. But his home, nobody can carry from his home to the chotzer, which clearly means he's not relinquished his rights from his home. And this is something we've discussed a little bit already. The Gemara is now asking, hey Chadomi, how is it possible? What's the case? Ida Botil, did he relinquish his rights? Beisei amai osa. If he's relinquished all his rights, his home also belongs to the people, the other neighbors, and his home, together with his part in the chotzer, belongs to the four neighbors that made the Eruv, so why can they not carry from his home to the chotzer? Or why can he not carry from his home to the chotzer as a guest? Ida loy botel, if he did not relinquish his rights, then not only his home is his part in the chotzer is also his. So the chotzer then belongs to two entities, to the people who made the Eruv and to him. Chatzeire amai sharia. Then what have you gained with relinquishing the rights? It seems that you didn't relinquish your rights, proof being that Beisoy, his home, remains also to carry to and from for anybody. Says the Gemara Hochab Mayaskinon, we're talking about a case where he explicitly kegoin shebitel rishus chatzeiroi, he relinquished his rights to the chotzer, v'loi bitel rishus beisoy. He distinctly and explicitly says, I'm relinquishing my rights from the chotzer. But he didn't say he's relinquishing his rights from his home. Because of Rabbonon, and this is the opinion of the Rabbonon, and this is something we've already discussed previously, that this is a machloikas tanoim, but the Rabbonon hold, Hamavatel Roshus Chatzeroi, if somebody relinquishes his rights in a chotzer, Roshus Beisoi Loibotil, that does not mean that he's by default automatically relinquished his rights of his home to, and therefore his home belongs to him, and since he and the chotzer are two different entities because he didn't join the Eruv, therefore nobody can carry from his home to the chotzer. But his share in the chotzer he relinquished to the others, and therefore the chotzer belongs to a single entity. Anybody besides for carrying from his home to the chotzer, anybody else can carry from their homes to the chotzer. The dire incha babayis blei chotzer, because it's common or it's something which is feasible for a person to live in a home without a chotzer, and therefore it would make sense to say that he's relinquished his rights in the chotzer. That does not mean he relinquished his rights in his own home. Continues the Gemara. V'shalohen, this person, this neighbor number five, who relinquished his rights in the chotzer to the other four neighbors, v'shalohem mutar lo v'lohem, anybody, including Mr. Number Five, is allowed to carry to and from their homes, the other four homes, to the chotzer, since their homes have been joined with an eruv, and he has relinquished his rights in the chotzer to them, so the chotzer plus their homes belong exclusively to them, and therefore anybody, including himself, can carry from their homes into the chotzer. Maitama, why is this person who relinquished his rights allowed to carry from their homes into the chotzer? He doesn't have a share in the chotzer, he relinquished his rights in the chotzer. Answers the Gemara, Dehava oireach legabayu, is considered to be a guest in their homes, and in the same way as if somebody invites a guest, then the guest follows the host regarding the halachas of the Eruv, so too this number five is a guest with the others and can carry from their homes to the chotzer. He cannot carry from his home to the chotzer because he didn't join the Eruv. Asks the Gemara, or says the Gemara, Nosnu loy roshuson. If the four people relinquished their rights to the fifth one who didn't make the Eruv, which means all the people that made the Eruv have relinquished their rights to the one person who didn't make the Eruv, hu mutar, he can carry from his home to the chotzer because the entire chotzer belongs to him. His home belongs to him. Since the home and the chotzer belongs to the same entity, you can carry from one to the other. But they, v'hein asurim, they, not only can they not carry from their homes because their homes belong uniquely and exclusively to them, and the chotzer they've relinquished to this person, this number five, so they belong to different people, therefore one cannot carry from their homes to the chotzer, but even from his home to the chotzer, they cannot carry. And the Gemara is now asking, v'nehever inhu legabei ki urchin, why don't we say that they are considered his guests and can carry from his home out into the chotzer? Answers the Gemara, chad legabei chamisho havi ureach. It makes sense for one person to be considered a guest with a group of five who are hosting him. But chamisho legabei chad, but to have five people considered a guests and one hosting them, lo havi ureach, that's not considered an ureach. And if they're all going to use the chotzer, carrying from his home to the chotzer, it's going to look as if they are reclaiming their rights that they relinquished in the chotzer, and that is osur. Says the Gemara. And at this point, how did the Mishnah start? The Mishnah started, anshei chotzer sheshochach echad mem velo irev. Then we started with a case where the one who didn't make the eruv relinquished his rights to the four. Then the Mishnah says, what happens when the four relinquish their rights to the one? At this point, the Gemara assumes it's one case. First, the one relinquished his rights to the four, so they can all carry from their homes to the chotzer. And then the four relinquished their rights to the one. It's so to speak, they gave to this one that didn't join the Eruv, they gave him back his rights together with their own rights in the chotzer. So that means it's one case. First, he relinquished his rights to them, and then they relinquished his rights back to him with their rights. Says the Gemara, Shema mino mevatlin v'chozin mevatlin. This is a sukkah we've already had previously. That it seems from here that on Shabbos, after a person's relinquished his rights, the people who received those rights can then give it back to him. And that's the discussion we had in the Gemara previously. It's not so clear at all. Says the Gemara, no, hochi ka'omar. We're talking about two totally independent cases. The first case is talking about where the one relinquished his rights to the four. The second case is when, right at the beginning, the four relinquished their rights to the one, but not that the four relinquished their rights to the one after the one relinquished his rights to them. And only in that case, hum mutar v'hein mutarin, then, as we said, if they relinquished their rights to him, then he can carry from his home to the chotzer, but they cannot carry from their homes to the chotzer, nor can they carry from his home to the chotzer. Continues the Gemara. Hoyu shnayim, if the three of them that made an Eruv relinquished their rights to two people that did not join the Eruv, oisrin ze azeh, then they restrict each other from using the chotzer, because again, the chotzer belongs to two people. Asks the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious Just imagine there'd only been two people in the chotzer and they didn't make an Eruv, then neither of them can carry in the Eruv. So it goes without saying that if the three who made an Eruv relinquish their rights to the two, and the two didn't have an Eruv, then of course nobody can use the chotzer. Answers the Gemara, Loi, it's not so strict, taken for granted. Tzricha, there's an element of chiddush here. Tehodar chad minayu ubotile lechavrei. What happened was that the three relinquished their rights to the two, and now the whole chotzer belongs to two, and now one of those two relinquished their rights to the other one. So logic would have said that one who's now received the rights, he has the rights of all the people here in the chotzer. So he should be able to carry from his home into the chotzer. Mao Dutei Ma'ai may have thought Lishtori that one individual can carry from his home to the chotzer. Komash Malon, that's why the Mishnah has to tell us, Kiven de Be'idna de Botil. Since at the time when the three relinquished their rights to the two didn't actually receive those rights, because when you relinquish the rights, it's only considered a valid transmission of the rights if the person receiving it can now carry in the area there. But here, after the three relinquished their rights, the two, they still couldn't carry, so the two didn't actually receive those rights. And therefore, lehavile shirusa b'hai chotza, since when the three relinquished their rights to the two, they did not have any permission to use the chotzer. Therefore, they didn't have what to relinquish to each other either. And therefore, it's as if nobody relinquished their rights and nobody can use the chotzer. Continues the Gemara. The next case in the Mishnah. She'echod noisin rashus. Any one individual can relinquish his rights. We know that if one person didn't join the Eruv, he can relinquish his rights to the rest. Asks the Gemara, Hasu Lomoli, why do you have to say this already? The opening statement of the Mishnah was that if one person forgot to join the Eruv, he can relinquish his rights. Why do you have to make the rule and say one person can relinquish his rights? Inoisen, if you're talking about that one person can relinquish his rights to Nina, we saw that, the opening statement of the Mishnah. In Noitel Tanina, if it's because of what it says that a single person can receive rights, also Tanina, that we saw that in the Mishnah as well, that if two people relinquish their rights to one, that it's valid, and that one can carry. So we've had both these halachas already. Answers the Gemara, Sefer Shrichale. We actually need it for the next statement in this rule. What does it say? Shnayim Noisnim Rashus, that two people can relinquish their rights. Says the Gemara Hanami Pshita, then why should there be difference between one person relinquishing their rights or two people relinquishing their rights? As long as they're relinquishing their rights to a single entity, then that single entity, that person, can carry from his home to the chotzer. Says the Gemara Maudate Ma'ai may have thought, Ligzer, that we should make a ban and say that in the same way as one person cannot relinquish his rights to two people, so too two people cannot relinquish their rights to one, because you might mistakenly think that one can then relinquish their rights to two. Dilma osi levetule luhu. I may have thought that the same way as this one person is receiving his rights from two people, he may think that he could relinquish his rights to two people that haven't made an Eruv. Komash Malon, the Mishnah is coming to tell us that there's no such ban, there's no such decree, and two people can relinquish their rights to a single person. Continues the Gemara, Ve'ein Noitlin Rashus, the final statement of this rule that again seems to be superfluous, and that is that two people cannot be the recipients of relinquished rights, assuming that the two have not made an Eruv. Lomoli, why do I need the Mishnah to tell us we already know that two people cannot be the shared owners of a chotzer, and of course they can be a shared owners, but they will restrict each other to carry on Shabbos. So why does the Mishnah have to tell us this? Says the Gemara, Lo Yitzricha, it's not so straightforward, and it's necessary to say it. Afal gav de omri lei kni al menos lehaknois. If the three are relinquishing their rights to four and five, of course it doesn't work. What happens if the three say to number four, we're relinquishing our rights to you on condition that you relinquish all these rights with your own to number five? I may have thought that they're making him an agent to transfer their rights to number five, and then it's considered and similar to all of them relinquishing their rights to one, and that would work. So the Mishnah is telling us, no, that does not work, since number four cannot receive those rights because, as we said before, when the three give their rights to number four, relinquish their rights to number four cannot carry in the chotzer because he's not made an eruv with number five. And since the chotzer now belongs to four and five, they restrict each other. And since four didn't receive the rights from the other three, he can then not give it over to number five either, as we saw before. And that is the chiddush of this final statement in the Mishnah, that one cannot relinquish rights to two people, even if one explicitly made one of them a condition, an agent, to transfer those rights to the last person, it's invalid. And the Mirat Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.